Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Dav Ches. We will begin on Dav Zayin on Beis, three lines from the bottom of Yehuda Nami. In our previous shir, we had discussed the power of the tzitz, the power of the tzitz to affect a kapara on a carbon that was brought betumah. We had learned the machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Shimon, if the tzitz has that ability, even when the kohen gadol is not wearing the tzitz. Rav Shimon had said that because the Torah uses the word tamid, we learn from the word tamid that under all circumstances, the tzitz has that ability. The Gemara, however, we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that disagrees. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the tzitz is only meratza while the kohen gadol is actually wearing it. So we begin today's shir with the Gemara asking the question, Rabbi Yehuda nami, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, haksiv, doesn't the Torah clearly say that the word tamid, and the word tamid clearly indicates that it always is meratza, even when the kohen is not wearing it? Answers the Gemara, hahu tamid? This is, the word tamid is coming to teach us a different halacha. It's coming to halacha that shlo yisiach da'atav menu, that the kohen, when he's wearing the tzitz, should constantly be thinking about the tzitz. And in fact, I saw that the Maritz says that this may be a riot to a different issue that we discussed in the previous year. The question was, could the kohen wear the tzitz even if he's not doing an avoda? And perhaps what the Gemara that he wants to suggest is saying that the tzitz is always effective. What the Gemara means to say is that it's always effective even when the kohen gadol is not wearing the tzitz. It's effective, but he has to realize and pay attention that he's wearing the tzitz in order that it should be effective. Says the Gemara, to Rabbi Bar Avuhna, and we find this kind of halacha was stated by Rabbi Bar Avuhna. Damar Rabbi Bar Avuhna, chayiv adam l'mashmish tefillah b'kol shah v'shah. Somebody, a person who's wearing tefillin, has to constantly be wearing, paying attention to the tefillin all the time. And this halacha is based, says the Gemara, on a kavachaymer mitzitz. We learn a kavachaymer from the tzitz. Because matzitz, if we look at the tzitz, shem by ela askara achas, the shem Hashem is only mentioned once in the tzitz. As we just said, Rabbi Yehuda teaches us, amr taira mitzcha tamid, we learn from the words of mitzcha tamid, shlo yisiach da'at v'menu, one should never stop paying attention to the tzitz. Tefillin, so certainly the tefillin, sheesh ben askaras harbe, that the shem Hashem is mentioned so many times in the parashias of the tefillin, alachs kam v'kamam, that one may not be mesiach das. So the Bach in Or HaChaim Simon Chav Ches Sif Aleph says that even though the Gemara says chayv adam l'mashmish tefillah b'chol shav v'shav, doesn't mean that as long as you're wearing your tefillin, you have to have on your hands on the tefillin all the time. Rather, what the Gemara means when it says tzarech l'mashmish b'chol b'chol shav, that whenever you remember your tefillin, you're wearing your tefillin as you're davening, whenever you remember them, put your hands on them to show that you're paying attention. And that's the psak that the Magen Avraham quotes there in Simen Chav Ches Sif Katan Aleph. The Ran, however, says that the Gemara indeed knew that there was a special shear where how often you have to pay attention to your tefillin, but we don't really know that shear. And therefore, the Shibali Likud says that we don't have a specific time frame how often we have to check the tefillin, but we have to do it often enough to show that we're not forgetting about the tefillin. So now the question is that what does it mean that you're not supposed to be mesiach das on your tefillin? So many Rishonim, Tosfos, and other Rishonim are of the opinion that if you have to constantly remember that the tefillin is, that you are wearing the tefillin, that's what the Gemara means, shlo yisiach da'ato. But there are other Rishonim that say that if you don't remember that you're wearing the tefillin, you're not, that's called hesach hadas. However, the Rabbeinu Yoinim takes a more lenient approach. The Rabbeinu Yoinim's approach that hesach hadas means that if somebody is bekalus roish, if somebody is wearing the tefillin and he's not in the proper serious frame of mind, then that's called hesach hadas. But if as you're wearing your tefillin, you are acting in a inappropriate serious manner, that's not hesach hadas. And I think the basis for the Rabbeinu Yonah is because they wore tefillin all day long. They didn't just wear tefillin like we do when we daven. So what does it mean? So what the Gemara means to say is that when you're wearing the tefillin, you have to remember that you have to not act b'kalas roish. How will you be prevented from acting by kalas roish? By being mashmish with your tefillin, by touching them and remembering that there, that will prevent you from acting b'kalas roish. But of course, the Bach says that even though, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, as we just explained, there's a much easier explanation of what does hesach hadas mean by tefillin, still, says the Bach, Rabbeinu Yonah will agree that the right thing to do is constantly think about the tefillin all the time. So the Gemara made a kal v'chomer, because if by the tzitz, where the Shem Hashem only appears once, we're learning how you have to treat it with such seriousness, so certainly tefillin that have the Shem Hashem all the time, have it so many times written in it, how serious we have to think about the tefillin that we're wearing. Taisus, however, Divrei Maskil Matzitz, asks on the Kal V'chomer, because he explains that tzitz has Hashem's name on it only once, but that one time that has the Shem Hashem, it's exposed. You could see the Shem Hashem. The tefillin has the Shem Hashem, but it's not visible. It's covered by the backs of the tefillin. And Tosfos does point out that that's not actually true, because the tefillin have the Shin, Dalet, and Yud, which are on the outside of the tefillin, and Shin, Dalet, and Yud are a Shem Hashem. So Tosfos says that, yes, it has the Shin, Dalet, Yud, but they're not really a genuine Shem Hashem. They're not genuine letters. They just represent the letters of Hashem, and therefore you can't say that the Shem Hashem on the tefillin are exposed. And therefore Tosfos says, because of this question, that even though we're learning here how we have to treat the tefillin with a great respect, it doesn't mean that that halacha is not a deraisa. That halacha is only a derabbanan. And the Night of Yehuda actually uses that svara to teach us that every day where we wrap the straps of the tefillin around the hands, so representing the Shem Hashem. How can we unwrap those tefillin? Aren't we breaking the Shem Hashem? But Tosfos just told us that these straps aren't really full-fledged Shem Hashem, and therefore, because they're not full-fledged Shem Hashem, then that's why there's no problem. The Shaul Zechuva Shoyel Meishiv asks a question. If we're learning in our Gemara that when you're wearing the tzitz, you're not supposed to be Mesiach Das, and when you're wearing tefillin, you're not supposed to be Mesiach Das, so ask the Shoyel Meishiv that the Ravid says in Hilchas Parah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, that you can't watch two things at the same time. So ask the Shoyel Meishiv, so if that's the case, how could the Kohen wear tefillin and tzitz at the same time? He has to think about both of them. So the Shoyel Meishiv says that especially if we learn that the definition of Shlo Yisiach Das is the way Rabbeinu Yonah just explained Shlo Yisiach Das, it means that when one is wearing tefillin, he has to act with the proper seriousness. And the same thing we're saying will be the halacha regarding when somebody is wearing the tzitz. So these two things don't complement each other. They're the same thing. It's not a problem. However, the Shaul Zechuva's Torah's Chesed takes a different approach. He says, how could somebody daven or learn when he's wearing tefillin? If he's davening when he's learning, he's not thinking about the tefillin. So here we see says the Torah's Chesed, that as long as you're doing something which is a Dovashep Kedusha, that's enough that it's not considered, that's enough that it should be considered that you're not Messiah Das. And therefore, if you're thinking about the Tefillin, it's not a contradiction to thinking about the Tzitz or vice versa. Tosfos Yeshanim asks a question. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, says that one may not wear tefillin when he's sleeping because Shem Yafich Behem, that he may pass gas. As the Tosfos Yeshanim, why does the Gemara say Shem Yafich? He says, why do we say that there's an issue of Hesach Hadas? And certainly when we're sleeping, there's Hesach Hadas. So one pshat that the Rishonim want to say, is that exactly what the Tosfos Yeshanim mean? That's exactly what it is. The Shem Yafich is really another way of saying Hesach Hadas. Another pshat that I saw that the Karen Oyer wants to suggest, he says that, and it's very much in line with the Rabbeinu Yoinim, Hesach Hadas is only possible when somebody is, Hesach Hadas is only possible when somebody is up. When somebody is sleeping, the fact that he's not thinking about the tefillin does not necessarily represent Hesach Hadas, because he's sleeping. That doesn't mean that he's acting Bekalus Roish, like Rabbeinu Yoinah said. And therefore, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos had to come up with another reason why one may not wear tefillin when he's sleeping. And that's because there's a concern of Shemach Yafich Behem. The Reim asks a question. He says, the Gemara teaches us that in Masechta Tamid, that when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, he's not allowed to raise his hands above the tzitz. The tefillin would be above the tzitz. So if our Gemara is teaching us that b'shas, that you're wearing the tzitz, that you're wearing your tefillin, chayv adam lamashmish tefillin b'chal shah, you have to check your tefillin all the time. How can he check his tefillin if the hand is above the tzitz? And because of that, some want to suggest that actually the Kohen Gadol did not wear tefillin when he was wearing the tzitz. And that would answer some of the questions that we just mentioned. But there are those that say, of course, as we said a moment ago, the tefillin and the tzitz actually complement each other. So if you're putting your hands above the tzitz because you want to check your tefillin, that isn't considered as if you're disrespecting your tefillin, the tzitz. And under those circumstances, you can raise your hands above the tzitz. The Prima Gadim quotes the Trumas Hadeshin that says that the halacha that we learned in our shir, the chayiv adam lamashmash tefillin b'chal shah v'shah, is for a different reason. And that is that the purpose of checking them is the tefillin have to be, especially the tefillin shel Rosh, have to be b'nei necha. They have to be in a specific spot on the head. And that's why you have to check your tefillin all the time to make sure that they are in a special place. The Shagas Arya, however, wants to say a raya, not like Rabbeinu Yoinah. As we've been saying, that according to Rabbeinu Yoinah, the definition of Hesach Hadas is that he should not act bekalus roish. He shouldn't act in a lighthearted manner when he's wearing the tefillin. Everything else, it's mutter. So he says, because that we're learning the halacha of tefillin from tzitz. The tzitz was worn b'shas avodah. B'shas the Kohen did the avodah in the Kohen got in the Beis HaMikdash, certainly he wasn't b'kalus roish. So it must be that the issur of kalus is because it was an issur of Mary Migdash. The Prima Gadim, however, says that even Rabbeinu Yoinah, as I said before, agrees that you're supposed to not just have not kalus roish, you're supposed to act it with great respect. Shagash Arya also asks, if we're learning that the issur of a Hesach Hadas when you're wearing tefillin is only because that you shouldn't come to Kalas Roish, so why did the Gemara begin Shechayiv Adam L'mashin Shetfilin B'Kol Shor? As long as you don't act B'Kalas Roish, that should be enough. So certainly, according to Prima Gadim, that we're checking the tefillin on a constant basis for a new reason, and that is to make sure that they're in the right spot, then we could understand that halacha. But the Artzus Chaim gives another explanation. Even the Rebbeinu Yoina, who has this easier definition in Kalos Roish, says in the Artzus Chaim, how will you remember that you're not supposed to act by Kalos Roish? The way someone will remember that he's not acting by Kalos Roish is by checking the tefillin on a regular basis. Ramat Chabanet makes a very interesting point. He says that when we speak about Hesach Hadas, there are two elements. One is that when somebody is Mesiach Das from the tefillin, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. And then there's another issue, and that's a separate issue of Hesach Hadas. And therefore, in explaining the opinion of Rabbeinu Yoina, is when you're Mekel Roish, when you're up, that's when you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin, and that's when there's Issa Hesach Hadas. But when you're sleeping, we spoke about this earlier, so you're anyway not trying to be Mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin, and that's why there's a new, that consideration, it doesn't apply. And that's why you don't have to worry. That's why the Gemara Masechet Shabbos had to come up with a new reason of Shem Chifiyach. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, Mish ain't datum yushevis, somebody who's not clear-headed, somebody who's not able to really concentrate, any yochel aniach tefillin, may not wear tefillin, mishum hesach adas, because it's hesach adas. So how do we understand that Rambam? Why, if somebody is ain't datum yushevis, he's not that clear, he's already considered that he's violating hesach adas. So I saw that the Mefarshim explain that since there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, as we just saw, there's not just an Isser of Hesach Hadas, there's a mitzvah to wear tefillin, a separate mitzvah. And when somebody is not datum yushevis, the halacha is that he can't have, that he's not able to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. So maybe we wouldn't say that somebody who's not datum yushevis is violating the Isser of Hesach Hadas, but that's not called wearing tefillin properly. The Rishonim ask, if there's such a strong issue of wearing not having Hesach Hadas, so as we mentioned before, how could one daven or learn or say Krishma when he's wearing tefillin? Isn't that considered Hesach Hadas? So the Shita Mekubetzes actually says, a very bechiddush, that there's a klal of oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. If I need to daven now, I need to learn now, I'm not over the Isser of Hesach Hadas. So I think what the Shita is saying, that if you're wearing tefillin and you're davening, so that moment you're davening, but you're not being mekayim the mitzvah tefillin properly. A very big chiddush. But the Emek Brocha has a different pshat. He says that certainly, and going back to this concept that we keep on repeating, that there's two issues. One is, are you fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin properly? And then there's the issa of Hesach Hadas. So he suggests that even if somebody's Mesiach Das while he's wearing the tefillin, that doesn't prevent them from being Mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. There's a separate mitzvah that one may not be Mesiach Das from the tefillin while he's wearing it. So it turns out that you can wear tefillin and do another mitzvah at the same time. Davening and learning do not detract from your mitzvah of the mitzvah of tefillin. Now our Gemara taught us that there's a new din, and that is that the halacha is that a person is not allowed to be Mesiach Das from tefillin. It's a separate halacha, says the Emek Brocha. It's not connected to the mitzvah of tefillin. So the way I understand the Emek Brocha, what the Emek Brocha is telling us is that once you wear tefillin, and of course he should daven and learn while he's wearing tefillin, but he should take a moment where he's not davening and he's not learning and not doing anything else and just concentrate on wearing the tefillin for that moment. And when he's wearing the tefillin for that moment, he's being mekayim the mitzvah tefillin in the best way possible. And like that, he'll have everything. He will fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin properly when davening and learning, and really doing the mitzvah of tefillin properly by taking a moment to think about the tefillin. Ask the Gemara, but going back to the beginning of the shir, Rav Shimon ben Amar, according to the opinion of Rav Shimon that holds, the Tamid is coming Maratza, even when the coin is not wearing the tzitz. It has that power, v'ksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say, v'hoya ametzach aaron, v'nosa ava aaron, esavayin ha-kotchim? So doesn't the pasuk clearly indicate that it's only effective while he's wearing the tzitz? Answers the Gemara, the purpose of that pasuk is a different purpose. Hahu, that pasuk is coming to where, hahu l'kfay le'makam dasa. It's coming to teach us where is the kohen gadol supposed to wear the tzitz. And the Torah is teaching us that the kohen gadol is supposed to wear his tzitz on his forehead. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda that used that pasuk for a different purpose, l'kfay le'makam nale, where will he learn that pasuk, that halacha, where you wear the tzitz? Nafkale, he learns it from a different pasuk, where the pasuk says, v'ya mitzvah tamid. So ask the Gemara, so Rav Shimon should be able to learn that halacha from that pasuk as well. Rav Shimon nami, typically me'al mitzvah, that the kohen gadol wears the tzitz on his fair head, answers the Gemara, and a chanami. Correct. That's where Rav Shimon is going to learn from. So we go back to our question. Ella, if that's the case, that from that pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda learned that the tzitz is only effective when you're wearing it. So what's Rav Shimon going to do with that pasuk? My avodlei, what's he going to do with that pasuk? Amalach, Rav Shimon responds, the pasuk is coming to teach us, roi metzach meratza, if he's, when is the tzitz effective? In a time that he can wear the tzitz, but if the tzitz is a situation sheni roi lemetzach that he can't wear it, that ain't a meratza. It doesn't have the ability to be meratza. Lafuki nishbar tzitz. What's we're coming to teach us? That if the tzitz is broken, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree the loy meratza that it can't affect a kapara. So the question is Yom Kippur. We've been learning, and we will be learning, that the Kohen Gadol, as he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, he doesn't wear the tzitz. And he can't wear the tzitz, because you don't wear gold vestments when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how could the tzitz be meratza? So I saw that the Rosh Hashanah explains, when the Gemara says, Roy Lemetzach, means that the tzitz has to be not broken. As long as it's not broken, that's called Roy, even though at this moment he can't wear it. Another pshat that he says is that the Kohen Gadol did wear the tzitz on Yom Kippur. He didn't wear it when he went into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but other periods of the day he wore it. And that's why Yom Kippur is considered a day that the tzitz is wearable. Rabbi Yehuda asked the Gemara of Nishbat Tzitz Menale, where does he know that halacha? Rav Shimon learned it from that pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda, where will he learn it from? Nafkalei, the Torah could have used the word metzach, but the Torah uses the word mitzchoy. That extra vav is coming to teach us that the tzitz has to be able to be worn. But if the tzitz is broken, it's not meratza. Rav Shimon, so why doesn't Rav Shimon learn from there? Rav Shimon says the Gemara metzach mitzchoy lemashmalai, he doesn't learn from the word, from that extra vav, any lemudim. Says the Gemara, Naim kahani tanoi, kahani tanoi. This machlok tanoim that we've been learning in the previous shurim about tumah hutra b'tzibur or tumah d'chuy b'tzibur is actually a different, connected to different machlokas. The Tanya, the Braisa says that regarding the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur or the kohen who's going to do the avoda with the parah aduma, as we've been learning in our shiurim, they were separated, they were sequestered 7 days before that in a special chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Braisa says, Echad zeh v'zeh zeh, both the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur and both the Kohen who's going to do the Avoida with the Parah Aduma, Mazon Olav, Kol Shivas, all 7 days while they are separated, they would spritz on them, Mikol Chatoa Shayisham. As we discussed this earlier in Amasechta, from all the Paraduma ash that they had there, they would spritz on them on all those days. Divrei Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. Rabbi Yosi Omer, or every day. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yossi, however, holds a mazon lov shlishi v'shvi b'vad on the third and the seventh day only. Chnina sekana kaimam kaina surfet sapara, the kind that's doing the paraduma, indeed mazon lov kol shiva, every day we spritz on him. However, the kain gadol for Yom Kippur a mazon lov el shlishi v'shvi on the third and the seventh day. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machlokes? My lab, the Hakamifki, the machlokes is as follows. Ramea holds Tumma d'chiba tzibra. Tumma is something that we reluctantly are makel on. And therefore, there's a halacha that we should do the tahara as best as possible. And therefore, we do the spritzing of the eifa parah every day, because every day we have to be concerned that this is the third day or the seventh day. And since we need to be concerned that this is the third or the seventh day, we want to get him tar as quickly as possible, because tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur, we don't want to rely on that heter unless we have to. On the other hand, suggests the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi sava tumah heti b'tzibur, and therefore we could do the avoda, and therefore there isn't the same pressure to get the kohen tar. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily the machlokes. V'tizbro, is the machlokes connected to this question? Is the machlokes of Rameya and Rabbi Yossi connected to this question? Because says the Gemara, Isavar Rabbi Yossi, if we're going to suggest that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that Tumah is Hetev B'tzibur, that's completely Mutter, then Hazar Klal Lomeli. Why do we have to do Hazar altogether? We could say Tumah Hetev B'tzibur. Ella, we have to agree that everybody agrees that that is not the Halacha. The machlokes is the kul alma, the hanitani svayer. Both Ramei and Rabbi Yossi are of the opinion that tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur. The tumah is only d'chuyah. V'acha, and the machlokes here is b'hakam afgi. It's a different machlokes altogether. Ramei savor, I'm reading tefillah with mana mitzvah. He says that doing tefillah in the proper time is a mitzvah, and we should not delay doing it in any way. And therefore, as soon every day we should do the hazar, because that may be the day that we're going to accomplish that it should be tar. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, lo yamrin in tefillah b'zman mitzvah. There isn't a pressure to do the tefillah in the proper time. Since there is no pressure to do necessarily the tefillah in the proper time, so then we could do it whenever we do it. Says the Gemara, v'savar Rabbi Yossi lo yamrin in tefillah b'zman mitzvah. Is that Rabbi Yossi's opinion? V'tanya, there's a different brisa. The brisa says, "Harei shoye shame kosel absera." If somebody has the shame Hashem written on his body, harei zlo yirchutz, he shouldn't wash his body that spot in water. V'lo yosuch, and he shouldn't smear that spot with any oil. V'lo yavim makom tenayfus, nor may he stand in a place which is not clean and have the shame Hashem exposed. Nizdam loy tefillah shemitzvah. If he has to go to the mikvah, karech lov gemi, he should put on top of that Shem Hashem piece of material to make sure that it doesn't get erased. And like that, v'toivel. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds, yorei v'toivel kedarkoi, he could go to the mikveh as is required, even without covering up the Shem Hashem. All he needs to be careful is b'vachio yishavshif. He has to be careful not to rub that spot. Of course, you can't rub the spot where the Shem Hashem appears. The Kaimelon and the Gemara Masech the Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chof explains that what is the basis of their machlokes. But tefillah b'zmanah mitzvah kamilfki. The machlokes is if somebody has to go to the mikvah, is he obligated to go as soon as he can? Rabbi Yossi says that tefillah b'zmanah mitzvah, that you have to go to the mikvah. So if the obligation to come, if the time to go to the mikvah came, just go to the mikveh, even if we'll cause that the Shem Hashem should get erased. So we see from that Gemara Masech the Shabbos that Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman mitzvah. So how could you say in our Gemara that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that tefillah b'zman is lav mitzvah, and that's why he's not so anxious and concerned that he should go to the mikveh immediately? So the Avni Nezer, the Shalos Tshuvos Avni Nezer, Or Chaim, Simon Reish Lamed Aleph, Sif Katan Ches, asks the question, why is the Gemara called Tefillah only a gram mechika? Why is the Gemara saying that going into the mikveh wearing with a shema shema on your body is only considered a gram mechika? Walking into, putting your hand into water when you have something written on it is certainly mechika. So Avni Nezer says a very bechidish. Avni Nezer says that the definition of grama means that if something doesn't happen immediately when you do it, if something happens with a delay, that's included in the category of grama. And therefore, if you put your body that has the Shem Hashem written on it into the mikveh, it doesn't get erased immediately. And since it doesn't get erased immediately, that's why it's not considered grama. So there's an interesting shaila l'aloch l'maisa. If somebody has a tape, a video that has on it the Shem Hashem, let's say somebody has a video of a wedding, and he has a video of the chuppah, where brachas are recited with the Shem Hashem, may one erase that video? Is that considered mechika Shem Hashem? So the Shem Tzionim Balocha is of the opinion that letters that are not genuine letters, but they're just magnetic letters or whatever, however we would call something on a tape or something on a video, are not considered letters. And therefore there's no Isser mechika Hashem on such letters. And he brings a raya, so something that we discussed earlier in our shir. Earlier in our shir, we quoted the Night of Yehuda, who says that if somebody unwraps the straps of his tefillin, even though, as Tosfos pointed out, the straps of your tefillin represent the Shem Hashem, that's not called erasing the Shem Hashem. Because the Night of Yehuda said erasing the Shem Hashem is only when the Shem Hashem is actually written. Here, the Shem Hashem wasn't written. Reb Moshe also says that technically there is no Isser to erase the Shem Hashem from a tape, from a video, but still he says that one has to treat the Shem Hashem with great respect. And therefore Moshe says it's better that if one wants to erase a tape with the Shem Hashem on it, he shouldn't just erase it, he should just record on top of it. And that will be called an indirect erasure. And something which is indirect, we're learning in our Gemara, is not that same consideration. So now Gemara goes back to explain the Machlokes and Rabbi Yossi regarding spritzing on the Kohen. Says the Gemara, the Kula Amma, everybody, Remei and Rabbi Yossi, Hani Tanoi, agree that Mirina Tefillah is Mana Mitzvah. So what is their Machlokes? Says the Gemara, V'achba HaKemufki, the basis of the Machlokes is a different question altogether. Remei Sover, Makshina Hazal Tefillah. We compare Hazar to Tefillah. They're both mentioned in the same Pasuk. And therefore, just like Tefillah Bizmana Mitzvah, he's going to hold Hazar Bizmana Mitzvah. And if Hazar Bizmana Mitzvah, we want to do it in the best way possible. Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we spritz on him and every day, because these may be the days, and that's why the Tahara may come sooner. Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rabbi Yossi on the other hand holds, Tefillah indeed is halacha or tefillah bezman mitzvah, but loy makshin hazal or tefillah, but that has nothing to do with hazal. And here we're talking about hazal. Rabbi Chanina Sukan Kahanim says that there was a difference between the kohen for Yom Kippur versus the kohen for the Parah Aduma. What is the basis of his psak? If he's saying hazal and tefillah the same, I feel be Yom Kippurim nami. We should have to do it every day. If on the other hand, V'loy makish hazal tefillah, tefillah kohen, sorry if it's a parah, shouldn't have to have it every day, nami loy. Answers the Gemara, loy makish. So, if we're not makish, so why does he hold that the kohen who's going to do the avoid of the parah aduma, we should do hazal every day? For a different reason altogether. Ma'ala ba'almahu. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, we held that the avoid of the parah aduma should be done with a kohen who's a tefillah yoyim, because to show that we don't agree with the tzedakim. But because we didn't want people to disrespect the avoda of the parah aduma, in all other aspects, we were very machmer. And therefore, one of the ways we show that is by doing the azar every day. Says the Gemara, Keman ozlo hodotanu rabbonim. So ask the Gemara, there's a brisa that teaches us that ein bein hafrosh koin surface of parah, le koin gol b'yom kippurim. There is no difference in the hazar that we do on them. El Shazeh Prisos Kedusha. The Kohen who's going to do the avodah on Yom Kippur is Sepp is sequestered because he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and therefore we want him to be in the proper frame of mind as Yom Kippur approaches, and we don't have to worry if Echav HaKahanim Noigim Ba, if any of his other Kahanim touch him. Because the purpose of sequestering him is not because of Tumah and Tahara. The purpose of sequestering him is just that he should be properly prepared for Yom Kippur. The Zeh, however, the kohen that's going to do the avodah on the paraduma, the reason that we separated him is prishos lotahara, because we want him to be tohor, as we just explained. We're very careful in all other aspects besides tful yoim that he should be tohor, and therefore ein echav kahanim, the kahanim, other kahanim may not touch him. We want to be extremely careful that he should not be exposed to tahara, toma. Command, ask the Gemara. Oikra Meir, that this could follow the opinion of a Meir that says that we do Azor every day. Oy Rabbi Yossi, or could follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that we don't do Azor only on third day and seventh day. Because says the Gemara, if we're going to say we want to follow the opinion of Chanina, Sagana, Kahanim, so then we should have suggested a different Nafkamina between the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur and the Kohen that's doing the paraduma. Because according to him, the kohen that's going to do the paraduma is going to have hazor every day, and the kohen gadol is only going to have hazor on the third and seventh day. If we want to mention the differences, why wasn't this mentioned? Ha'ikanamiha. So it must be that's not, this brisa is not representing the opinion of Chanina, Sekana, Kahanim. So we learned that according to a mayor, the hazor was done on the kohen every day. Maskler of Yosef Chanina, answer of Yosef Chanina, Bishloimer Rishon, the first day that he's sequestered, we do Tahara, because maybe he became Tomei 2 days before he was separated. And this day, which is the first day of his separation, is Shlishi, is the third day from when he became Tomei. And if somebody became Tomei, on the third day, we do Hazor. Sheni, on the second day, we again do Hazor, because maybe today is the third day, Shemesh Shlishi. Today may be the third day from when he became Tomei. Shlishi, on the third day again, we do Zahazor, because we're concerned that maybe today is the third day from when he became Tomei. Shemesh Shlishi. Chamishi, we do Hazor on the seventh day. Shema, because maybe we need to be concerned that he became Tomei 2 days before he was separated. And therefore, when we did the Azor on the first day of his separation, that's day 3. And now day 5 is Shvi, is the seventh day, when again we have to do Hazor. Shishi, again, we understand why we do Hazor on the sixth day, because maybe he became Tomei the day before he was separated. And therefore, today is the seventh day. And therefore, we're doing Hazor today. Shvi, again, we understand why we do Hazor on the seventh day. Shema, Shvi, maybe he became Tomei right before he was separated. And today is day 7. But ask the Gemara, El Revi, the fourth day from when he was separated, Lomeli Hazor Klau, why do we do Hazor on that day at all? Loi B'Shlishi Kol Sukkah, it's certainly not the third day, because he's already been separated for these days. While he's separated, he certainly has not been exposed to Tumah. And on the other hand, v'loy b'shviyik l'spuki, it can't be 7, because you can't have day 7 unless you had day 3 before. Ol tamech, ask the Gemara, Ramei said that we do Hazor every day. Ask the Gemara, is it possible that we could do Hazor every day? Hazor kol shiva mi'ika, can we do Hazor every day? V'kaimalon, we know the rule is, the Hazor shvus, that doing Hazor may not be done on Shabbos. And the Rishonim give 2 reasons why Hazor can't be done on Shabbos. One is because it looks like Masakin. When we do Hazor on a person, it looks like we're fixing him, we're making him tar. Another reason why we can't do Hazor is because we're concerned that you may come to carry this water on Shabbos. And in fact, this point is used to answer a question that I saw that both the Gvur Sari and the Sfas Emes ask. That isn't there a rule that ain't Shvus B'Migdash? And therefore, even if doing Hazor is a Shvus, but we have a rule, ain't Shvus B'Migdash. But now that we said that doing Hazor involves 2 reasons, When do we say Ein Shvus B'Megdosh? That's only when there's a Shvus that comes with one mitzvah. But when one reason. But when the Shvus comes with two reasons, then the reason, then you can't do Hazar on Shabbos. The Sfasamis gives another teretz. When do we say Ein Shvus B'Megdosh? We say Ein Shvus B'Megdosh by saying that we accomplish something right away. But here, we're not accomplishing something anyway. We have to wait all 7 days. And therefore, since we have to wait all 7 days anyway, we're not going to be lenient on a Shvus in the Migdash. So again, ask the Gemara. Hazar kol shiva miyaka. Is it possible, according to me, to say we do Hazar every day? For Kaimelon, that doing Hazar is an Issud Rabbanon, and therefore it should not be done on Shabbos. Elamai Yislach Meimah. How do we have to explain what Ramei say we did Hazar every day? Shiva means Levar Meshabbos. So similarly, when we say that you do Hazar every day, it's going to be Shiva Levar Meshabbos Mirvi. On the fourth day, as the Gemara just explained, there is no purpose of doing the Hazar on that day. That day, Ramei will agree we don't do Hazar. Amar Rava, so comments Rava Hilchach, Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol being sequestered before Yom Kippur, the loy b'didon talimilsa, it doesn't depend on us. Ella b'kviyah d'yachat talimilsa, it depends when Yom Kippur falls, and therefore b'tlosa b'tishrei, when the third day of Tishrei comes, that's when boy lefrushei we have to separate the Kohen Gadol, because that is 7 days before Yom Kippur. The Kol'em is Tlosa B'Tishrei, so whatever day of the week is the third day of Tishrei, that's the day when we do as we began our Masechta, Mafishinalei, we separate the Kohen Gadol. However, when we speak about the Kohen HaSoyer for Sapporo, that B'didon Talya Milsa, there's no specific date when the Hazor, when the Paraduma Ash has to be used. We could decide what day to do it. So because of that, we always begin that on a Wednesday. So the fourth day will be on Shabbos. And therefore, since we just learned, we can't do Hazar on Shabbos. And we can't do, and we don't, there's no point in doing Hazar on the fourth day. So the way we set it up is that the fourth day should always be Shabbos. So since Ramei wants that the Hazar should take place every day, the way we accomplish that the Hazar takes place every day, we only want to have the minimum amount of days missing. So we'll start on Wednesday, there will be only one of the 7 days missing, the day of Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol was separated to the Lishkas Perhedrin. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Omer of Yehuda, V'chi Lishkas Perhedrin, Hoysa, is that the name of that chamber? V'lishkas Palvati, and the difference between Hedrin means low-level workers, and Palvati means very important workers. So why is our Mishnah calling it the Lishkas Palhedrin? Says the Gemara, at the beginning, it was indeed called Lishkas Palvati. The Kayanim Gedolim were very special people, and therefore the chamber where they were sequestered was called the Lishkas Palvati. However, what happened in later years, the Kahuna Gedoyla was not necessarily given to people who deserved it. It was given, they would give money to be appointed to be a Kohen Gadol, and that's how you got that job. And what happened was, since people who weren't worthy of the job got the job, the Kohen Gadol never survived more than a year. And therefore, every year there was a new Kohen Gadol, and they used to replay the new Kohen Gadol would refurbish that room. But Perhedrin Alolu, just like these people, that the king used to constantly rotate these workers, and every 12 months he used to appoint a new worker, Lefikach, and therefore, when the Kohen Gadol fell into such hands, it started being called Lishkas Perhedrin. So I saw that the Kedushas Levi asks a question. Why is this place called the Lishkas Perhedrin? Do we want to constantly remind the Kohen Gadol that he isn't worthy of being the Kohen Gadol? He only got the job because he was appointed to that job because he paid for it. So I saw that the Bnei Yisachar says a beautiful pshat. The Divrei Yoel expands on that pshat. He says that look at these people. These people who were appointed to be the Kohen Gadol and paid for it and weren't worthy of it were individuals who, why do they need the Kohen Gadolah? By becoming the Kohen Gadol, all they're doing is putting their lives in danger. But they were ready to pay money and put their lives in danger. They weren't the greatest people, but they showed how important the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was to them. That they're ready to put their lives on the line, they're ready to spend money, all to be the Kohen Gadol. So that shows that even these people who aren't so special had this very important positive attribute. And that's why, how do we constantly remember that even people who aren't necessarily so great sometimes do great things by calling it Lishkas Bahedrin, that we're ready to take the job and pay for the job, even though that it meant putting up their giving up their lives for it because they're only going to have it for a year. And that's why calling it Lishkas Bahedrin is a beautiful praise of them, and that's why it was called that name.